Where are the Buddhas among these groups? Are we going to join one of these groups? Or are we going to form a separate group? For those who believe in a creator God, we say that if the concept of God is necessary for your moral and spiritual development and your salvation, then go ahead. We don't advise you to give up that belief at once. But sorry to say that we have to agree to disagree. For those who believe in many gods, we say also, can believe that there are many gods, but it is not necessary for us to pray and to worship them, because we do not expect our salvation through the influence of any god. For those who do not believe in any god, we say that you can go ahead. If you cannot believe in any god, but you must behave as cultured and civilized persons without violating the moral and ethical law. Beliefs are not the important aspect of Buddhism, but the practical side. Many scientists also could manage to discover wonderful things in this world through their experiments, knowledge and intelligence without any aid from God. They also do not rely on God for anything. According to the Buddha, there is no God to send you to either heaven or hell. You create your own hell or heaven according to your way of life. Therefore, you have to make your own efforts by cultivating your morality, developing your mind, and purifying your heart. Then you can find out your salvation. Your own thoughts, words, and actions are responsible to mold your present life and hereafter, and to find out your eternal happiness. If you want to train yourself to overcome your weaknesses such as anger, jealousy, and your crazy attitudes towards evil things, you have to make up your mind to get rid of these evils by realizing their danger. But there is nobody else who can take away such evil thoughts from your mind unless you adjust yourself. Buddha has said that no god or any other supernatural being can take away the results of the evil actions or the results of the good actions that are made by man. There are no eternal sources to purify your mind and to take away the reactions of the evil practices that you have committed. Because the good and the bad reactions follow according to the cosmic law. Therefore, a person cannot wipe out such reactions by going against the cosmic law. However, the Buddha did not deny the existence of gods or supernatural beings. He also admitted that they have certain power which human beings do not have, but they are worldly powers. Before the Buddha's coming, people in India used to believe that such devas or supernatural beings are immortal. But the Buddha said, they are also subject to birth and death. Although the supernatural beings are more powerful than human beings, according to the Buddha, human beings
are more fortunate than those supernatural beings. Human beings have greater chance for their moral and spiritual development, for the attainment of their salvation. To the Buddha, superhuman effort is more important than the supernatural power. It is therefore difficult for Buddhists to accept the certain titles that are given to God. Titles such as Almighty, All-Powerful, Forgiving, Merciful, Omniscient, Omnipotent. But when we observe the beliefs and practices of certain Buddhists, we can understand that they are interested in gods and expect certain favors from these gods. At the same time, there are others who belong to an intellectual group, who practice this religion without holding the concept of God, and who do not expect any favors from them. In that respect, Buddhists can practice their religion either with or without the concept of God. However, when we study the Buddha's words, we cannot find out even one word uttered by the Buddha in support of the existence of a creator God. The Buddha has very clearly mentioned that we should not expect any God to come and wash away our sins, and we should not expect our final salvation by praying to such a God. But expecting worldly favors from them is a different thing. Those who keep away from evils and do good because of God sometimes face difficulties, because one day when they have to give up their God concept, they do not know what to do. They may even do whatever they like without following any religious principle. This is the danger in losing the God concept. This danger arises from holding concept of God through emotional. God idea is useful to some people. The concept of God helps a great deal for mankind to keep away from evil and to do some service to others, because many people avoid evil practices out of fear of God. At the same time, some people do some service to others to please the God and then expect rewards in return for their services. Therefore, we are not very keen to introduce a godless doctrine amongst the masses, since this concept of God helps the mankind. If people cannot understand why they should keep away from evil and why they should help others without believing in God, let them hold such views. However, the Buddha has gone beyond the concept of God. He paid more attention to good than God. He has advised people to keep away from evil by realizing the enormous sufferings and miseries they create amongst others by violating cosmic law. The Buddha has also advised people to help others with sympathetic feelings without expecting anything in return. This means not to have a selfish motive either for avoiding evil or for doing good deeds. However, their universal law is such that good begets good and bad begets bad. How to introduce and accept a religion? According to Mr. Nehru, former Prime Minister of India, we should not introduce any religion, by adopting a religious sanction, holy scriptures, and the next world. He says, if we introduce a religion through any one of these channels, man relies on them and hence blunders its reasoning power. Therefore, we must allow man to think freely and to seek the truth according to his own conviction. One day, there was a religious forum at the University of Malaya. The subject was the concept of God. In that forum, there were speakers from Islam, Christianity, Hinduism, and Buddhism. Each speaker presented the views of his particular religion. After their talk, one student asked the question, when we study the religious scriptures, we get some interpretations about man's life and this world and the universe. When we study sciences, we get a different picture. When we compare religion and science, I feel we get better interpretation from the scientific side. Therefore, how can we believe that the teachings mentioned in the books were revealed by a God? One of the speakers gave a very diplomatic answer. He told, God has chosen a man to convey his message to others. When he conveys that message to others, how do we know whether he has given his own message or whether he has given the message revealed by the God? Therefore, we cannot blame the God for giving the wrong information. Thus, it is quite possible for men to distort or to give the wrong information regarding the God's message. However, we Buddhists do not face such problems because Buddhism is not a revealed religion. Buddha has never mentioned that when he was meditating under the Bodhi tree while seeking his enlightenment, that someone came behind him and whispered into his ears and revealed a message to him. What he preached was what he experienced through his enlightenment. In the history of the world, there is no evidence to show that Buddhists have disturbed or done any damage to any other religions in any part of the world. Another contribution that we Buddhists have made to other religions is that we have never tried to convert others through various kinds of exploitation. By keeping away from all sorts of evil practices and by living without disturbing others and by showing our kindness, honesty, compassion, patience, tolerance, and understanding, we can do excellent services to others. Is it not a service if we can change the cruel mind of a man who violates the peace and happiness of innocent people to be a cultured and harmless man? We can render better service not only by providing material help, but also by leading a harmless life. Buddhists try to convert people to be religious. They try to make people who have no religion to understand the importance and the value of religion. For those who are cruel, cunning, and dishonest, we advise them to follow some religious principles. At the same time, we advise people
to practice their own religion according to their basic religious principles. Other than being interested in asking people to change their religious labels, be sincere. First and foremost, religious leaders must set a good example to others by showing their sincerity and understanding. They need not imitate the stage wrestlers who fight for money. These wrestlers first shake hands, and then they start beating each other without any mercy. We must not shake hands with other religious denominations in this manner of the stage wrestlers. We must not use religion to play this kind of game. Some wrestlers, when offering their hand to their opponent, will take advantage of catching the opponent off guard and attack him. It is not much of an exaggeration to say that some religionists also practice the same type of wrestling. This should not be the attitude of religious people. Religious people must be honest, sincere, and straightforward. They must be kind. They must have more tolerance and patience than an ordinary person. They must have sympathy and understanding. And they must work for the welfare of others, irrespective of other religions. Buddha has never said that only those who believe in him and worship him will get the chance to go to heaven. Buddhists never have such belief that they are the only blessed people who can go to heaven and the others are unfortunate. Purpose of religion. Many people have not yet realized the real purpose of a religion. They also have not yet realized that religion is for us to find unity, peace, and happiness. Some argue and ask that if unity, peace, and happiness cannot be found amongst so-called religionists, why then do we need religion? More and more people are keeping away from religions as they come to know how religionists misuse their own religions. Some intellectuals have gone to the extent of boldly proclaiming that religions have done more harm than good to mankind. Whether these intellectuals are right or wrong, they do give us something to ponder seriously if we are going to make religion meaningful. Actually, there is nothing wrong with religion, but there is something wrong with man, and there is something wrong with the methods that the man uses to introduce and to practice the religion. This is why people sometimes get fed up with religions. Religious intolerance also might have taken place because of that type of wrong attitude. When some people see how the followers of two different denominations within the same religion cut each other's throats, then how could people accept, appreciate, and justify that religion is important for the welfare of mankind? If the so-called religious authorities have not yet learned how to live with harmony and mutual understanding among themselves, then what sort of peace message can they offer to others? Although there are different sects in Buddhism, yet happily there are no signs of any conflict amongst these sects.
They are the results of the dynamic character of Buddhism. For Buddhists, there exists unity in diversity. Religious truth. The Buddha did not claim a monopoly on the truth. He never claimed that he was the only teacher to reveal the truth. So many other Buddhas have appeared previously in this world, and in the future also, so many more Buddhas will appear. All of these Buddhas introduce the same truth. The Buddha has advised his followers to accept the truth whenever and wherever it is available, whether it is in his religion or in any other religion. Thus, if there are truthful, rational advices found in any other religions, Buddhists are always ready to accept such advices. And thus, to the question, which is the correct religion? The Buddha did not say that his religion is the only correct religion. Rather, he said that if anyone can find the Four Noble Truths and the Eightfold Path and real followers who have attained perfection and who have shown to the world that they have achieved the ultimate aim of their life by noble example and practices, then you can accept that religion as a true religion. Any religion that is based on truth is a true religion. But it seems some people are allergic to other religions. They say that it is forbidden for them to step into a place of worship of another religion, and they give their deaf ears to the teachings of another religion, and other religious books are untouchable to them. The aim of the founders of religions, the aim of the founders of different religions in this world was to do some service to mankind. They have done that service for the last few thousand years within their capacity, within their knowledge, and within their ability. Later, some of their disciples have associated the way of the life of those great teachers with all sorts of fantastic stories to show their divine and miraculous powers. But those religious teachers who have served mankind through their superhuman efforts, wisdom, and enlightenment as normal religious teachers are more commendable. If they were not as successful as they expected, at least they have civilized many uncivilized and barbaric human beings all over the world. To achieve their aim, they have adopted different methods. They held different views. They introduced different ideologies. They differed according to the circumstances prevailing at their time. There is therefore no reason whatsoever for the followers of other co-religionists to ridicule or look down upon the practices of a particular religion. If those practices happen to be dissimilar to their own, why fight? People who fight and shed blood in the name of religion do not serve their religion. They fight for personal gain or power. Those who truly practice a religion have no ground to fight. A real religion
never encourages any form of violence. If Buddhists practice real loving kindness as taught by the Buddha, if Muslims follow real brotherhood as taught in their religion, if Christians practice the teaching of love thy neighbor, and if Hindus practice oneness of mankind, there would be no reason to have all sorts of clashes, calamities, disturbances, and wars in this world. We should not take religion just only to argue with others or to organize certain religious functions, to celebrate occasions, to glorify ourselves. Instead, we must strive to overcome our human weaknesses and bad habits. To do this, we must follow the fundamental principles of our respective religion. Let us unite. If the aim of a religion is for the unity and harmony of mankind, first and foremost, religious authorities of various religions and denominations must unite and set a good example to the world, then advise the masses how to unite, to live peacefully. Therefore, let all religions unite to abolish racial arrogance, national barriers, hindrances to cultural development, and other kinds of discrimination. Let all religions unite not to use religious militarism. Let them unite to stop all the brutality and manslaughter in the name of war. Let them unite to give freedom to man, to find a religion according to his own conviction. Let them unite to give up religious monopoly. Let them unite not to use religion in the marketplace to convert others by adopting questionable methods. Let them unite to respect the other man's religious beliefs and practices, as long as these beliefs and practices are harmless and do not mislead the public. Let them unite to wipe out the challenging attitude of unhealthy religious competition. Let all religions unite to eliminate the various vices and immoral practices that are common in our modern society. One scholar has said, "The unity among the religions of mankind, if and when achieved, will be one of the greatest blessings on this earth." Certainly, we cannot bring about this unity by mystifying, glorifying, or blowing our own trumpet to justify our claims. We can perhaps contribute towards achieving harmony among the followers of different faiths by impartially and respectfully studying their doctrines, beliefs, and practices. Like the bee gathering honey from different flowers, the wise ones see only the good in all religions and accept the essence of the different teachings. For example, Buddhism says, "Hurt not others in ways that you yourself would find hurtful." The Taoist says, "Regard your neighbor's gain as your own gain, and your neighbor's loss as your own loss." The Christian says, "All things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. The Muslim says, do unto all men as you would they would do unto you, and reject for others what you would reject for yourself. The Hindu says, let no one do to others what he would not have done to himself. Look at the aim and the similarity of these religions. If we really practice these religious advices, how can we find clashes, jealousy, hatred, and discrimination amongst the followers of these religions? All religions serve mankind. Some have not realized that all good religious men are working to serve the public according to their religious principles. They are also trying to make people better citizens and to live peacefully with understanding. Why is it that sometimes the followers of one religious group treat another religious group as rivals? Why are they reluctant to show their smiling faces to other religionists? Why are they sometimes hostile to others? And why do they refuse to cooperate with their good work? Why do some insult other religious people by calling names? Such people must understand that other religious groups are also working for human welfare, but not to mislead the public. The time has come for all religionists to forget their differences and misunderstandings. They can admit the past mistakes and then forget them. Now is the time for all religionists to cooperate with each other and to organize a unified religious body and to introduce and to protect religion. Religionists must learn to stop the crazy attitude of converting people from one religion into another. Allow people to choose a religion according to their own conviction. One religious group has a tendency to attack or condemn another religious group. And in every country, there is at least one very strong anti-religious group that is waiting to take advantage of religious quarrels and to condemn every religion. As a result of such actions, more and more people keep away from religion. If one religious group adopts an attitude to hinder or to ridicule preachings and teachings of another religion, it clearly shows such people have jealousy and hostility for the progress of other religions. If they have realized the real essence of religion and services that religion can render to mankind, it is impossible for them to adopt such narrow-minded methods. Religions must come together and work with each other. Mr. Gandhi once said, I do not expect the India of my dream to develop one religion, to be wholly Hindu, Christian, or wholly Muslim, but I want to be wholly tolerant with its religions, working side by side with one another. All religionists must work together to make people to understand the value of devotion, ideal of truth, justice, service, charity, and loving kindness so universally accepted by religion. Finally, all religious denominations must work wisely by considering the above-mentioned facts and try to make people religious instead of giving religious labels. Let us not forget these important points and thus make possible the achievement of the ultimate aim of religion. Buddhism is not a branch of another religion. The Buddha did not introduce the same old religious teachings and beliefs that existed in India at that time. In fact, if he wanted to introduce the same old thought pattern of religion, it was not necessary for him to sacrifice everything and use a superhuman effort to gain supreme enlightenment, which he could not find in any other religious teacher at that time. Instead of presenting the same old teachings, the Buddha threw new light into the religious life and beliefs and explained the real meaning and purpose of a religion in a proper perspective. Before his explanations of religious way of life, people had never thought or heard of that type of rational and liberal interpretation and reason. Buddha's teachings are such that anyone can practice them without any religious labels. Fatalism. The Buddha did not share the fatalistic view that near birth decided once and for all a man's station in life, because his conduct in this life itself was even a more important factor than the result of past karma. Buddha clearly discounted the fatalistic philosophy that all the experiences of a man in the present life are totally determined by his previous actions alone, or that they were permanently fixed by some divine scheme. He also did not subscribe to the view that the thing simply happened by chance without any previous cause. That is to say, birth was not mere accident. New religious interpretations. The Buddha pointed out the cruelty of the animal sacrifices offered in the name of God to please him and to receive his blessings. He did not encourage the people to take a holy bath in the so-called holy rivers. He never believed that people could wash away their sins simply by taking a bath. The Buddha has interpreted holy bath as to taking bath in morality. He also pointed out the futility of fire god worship and explained the deeper aspect of fire god worship as respecting father and mother. Again, he has pointed out the meaningless way of worship of directions or quarters and enlightened the people, telling them the real meaning of worshipping the quarters as respecting and fulfilling the duties towards parents, teachers, wife, and children, friends, servants, and the wise ones. Worshipping of the sun and the moon was also very common, not only in those days, but also at this space age amongst certain people. But the Buddha did not accept that there is any religious value in such practices. As a result of rejecting the existing many superstitious beliefs in the name of religion, Buddhists had to suffer. And Buddhism was driven away from India by those who got powers into their hands and who wanted to maintain the same old beliefs as real religious practices for their personal benefit. How to choose a religion? One day, a well-known person approached the Buddha and told him that he would like to be one of his followers. The Buddha asked him the reason for changing his religion. Then the man replied, "I heard many people are appreciating the Buddha's teaching and his way of religious life. So I also decided to follow that teaching." Then the Buddha asked him, "Have you ever heard my teachings? Do you know whether there is truth in my teachings? Do you know whether you can practice my way of religious life?" The man replied, "Venerable sir, this advice that you just gave me is more than enough for me to understand the nature of your teachings." Soon he became a follower of the Buddha. Again he asked, "Is it permissible for me to continue giving alms to the priests of my former faith?" The Buddha replied that there was no reason whatsoever for him to stop giving alms to any priests. The Buddha explained on many occasions that anyone could give alms to anybody. Giving alms is a meritorious deed. This story is a good example for us to understand what sort of method the Buddha adopted to introduce his religion and to understand how the Buddha treated the followers of other religions. Yet, when we approach certain people to ask for any donations towards our religious, social, and cultural activities, some people say, "Sorry, we cannot do that. It is against our religion. We are forbidden to give donations to other religions."